UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm excited to be with the most cutting-edge cardiologist and medical scientist, Professor B.M. Hegde. Professor B.M. Hegde, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I have been a student of human physiology and human pathology for the last nearly 60 years, ever since I joined the medical school in 1956. And would you believe, now I feel, I am still a student in search of the truth.
I remember you published a paper in 1968 on the use of coconut oil and its benefits to health. And today, coconut has become such a popular superfood. And 20 years ago, if you spoke about coconut oil, people would be worrying about it being a fat and having negative impact on cholesterol, triglycerides, heart conditions. What motivated you to look at something which was so cutting edge in 1968?
Very simple. Traditionally in India, especially in the west coast of India, people depended only on coconut oil for everything. So did people in the United States of America up until 1930. Even bread was made with coconut oil in America. Now, for some political reasons, they had to change that. Let's not go into that. Now, my experience was that as a child, I have been seeing people who use coconut oil for everything from rubbing on the body to eating coconut, etc., etc. They lived a very healthy life. Mm-hmm. Especially if you see Kerala girls who use a lot of coconut oil on their head and take bath every day but do not use soap. And these people have no dandruff, no hair fall, no browning of the hair, graying of the hair. So cute and so young. And people, I had a grandfather, he used to always tell me, he needed 2 coconut chutneys in a day.
So chutney is like hummus. It is just a ground fresh coconut, which is mixed with certain spices.
Correct.
To eat with...
Idli, dosa, and meal, you name it, they used to have it.
Yeah, it's like a side dish or like a sauce.
Absolutely. These were all healthy. That's number one. Number two is, if you went into the science of coconut oil, the fatty acid in coconut oil is sodium monolaurate. Mm-hmm. And the fatty acid in mother's milk is sodium monolaurate. These are the only 2 things in the world which have the same fatty acid. Though we have, for our business purposes, classified coconut oil as saturated fat and unsaturated fat, etc., etc. This is artificial for business, the classification. The true classification, what is the fatty acid? Mm-hmm. Sodium monolauric acid. Now, very interesting thing is, even in the 60s, 70s, when the world was going gaga against coconut oil and for various other oils, yes, infant food had to have coconut oil base. For the simple reason, if an infant doesn't have a mother, and if it has to have some food which contains some fat, the only base can be coconut oil, because that's the only base containing sodium monolauric acid, because an infant does not have pancreatic lipase. Infant has only salivary lipase. So salivary lipase can digest only two things, mother's milk and coconut oil. And both these things get digested in the mouth. Yes. So the advantage even now, for example, coconut oil is used in the West for treatment of Alzheimer's disease. You just put it in the mouth, it gets converted into ketones, and ketones directly go into circulation, and only dead or dying brain cells can take ketones, not glucose. That is why it's a treatment, or even for prevention of Alzheimer's, coconut oil is a trick.
I think this is...
Now, knowing all this, then I thought, why are these people doing this? So I went and asked so many people, and I was those days a student in a trainee in London, and I had contact with very good people like, you know, Sir Michael Oliver, who was the president of the Royal College. And Michael Oliver was a man against this fat business. And he was invited to chair a session called Transatlantic Consensus Conference on Cholesterol.
Right.
So there he, of course, expressed his views, etc. They agreed everything. When he was flying back, the newspapers were writing, Professor Michael Oliver has agreed for the consensus saying cholesterol is bad for health. Mm-hmm. So he came back and wrote an article in the Lancet, Consensus or Nonsensus Conference on Cholesterol. So I said, look, all this is because something, so I must tell the truth. So I wrote an article, mm-hmm. and I got into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
But I'm alive because my department met. I was the associate professor then. My department met and said, here is a nut. You can't have him in the department because he's doing something against the establishment. So we'll throw him out. But somehow or other, you know, providentially, I was not thrown out. Eventually, someone else prevailed and they didn't throw me out. To that extent, they can destroy you. You will be surprised. In the 50s, in the 60s, there was a man called John Yudkin in London. Mm-hmm. He was the professor of nutrition at London University. He was saying right then also, fat is not the cause. The real bad cause of the be-all and end-all atherosclerosis is sugar. Mm-hmm. And because he wrote a book called Pure, White and Deadly, yeah. Would you believe that he was, of course, dismissed as a professor of nutrition? His degrees were stripped off, and he had no job. Yeah. All because he wrote a book, and which went against the business interest.
It's really interesting, Professor Hegde, because with the summary of longitudinal studies, also, you know, Dr. Walter Sivelet, who was the dean of Public Health School of Harvard University, who has written Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, which is the Harvard Medical School's guide for healthy living, really talks about the benefits of fat. And now we understand that cholesterol may not be bad. But could you please, Professor Hegde,
describe
why cholesterol is not bad?
It's very interesting now that you say that. It was the Harvard University professors themselves. It was the Harvard University professors themselves who created this whole myth for money. Three professors, so-called scientists in Harvard University, were paid $50,000 by the sugar industry because sugar was supposed to be very bad for health, which is bad. And they wanted to take away that myth because they didn't want their industry to be suffering. So they told these scientists, create something called fat, which is a ghost, and sugar is good. So they created this called saturated fat, unsaturated fat, cholesterol, blah, blah, and cholesterol produces blocks and all kinds. If blocks are produced by cholesterol, which if it is true, the blocks don't matter. Blocks are good, actually. Coronary artery blocks protect the heart from what is called sudden death.
Yeah.
And blocks, if they're bad, then if you now analyze the block, what is inside is polyunsaturated fat. All this polyunsaturated fat the West was selling as good, that is what's contained in the block, not cholesterol saturated fat.
And also it's the oxidation of
that's
the
a different thing, of course.
Which results in...
No, that's a different story. That's what's called hydroxy fat.
Yes.
You know, if you fry any fat, anything in fat, that gets incorporated with oxygen. That becomes hydroxy fat. Hydroxy fat damages the vessel wall. Mm-hmm. So that is true of any fat.
Yes.
So any deep frying anything in fat is not a very healthy option. But sugar is a deadly thing. Sugar is a real white poison.
So what would you be your advice, you know, in a society where we are really facing the epidemic of heart diseases and diabetes and metabolic syndrome? How can people be using fat? You know, one of the things is to use it as olive oil or plant-based fats in as raw oils. Would you have any suggestion how best to make fats our friends?
You know, all fats are friends, actually. You will be surprised. Unless you have enough and more fat in your diet, your immune system can't work because the basis of the immune system is monolauric acid.
Tell me more about that, please.
Yeah, see, the whole human immune system is based on monolauric acid. That's the base. The fatty acid of the immune system is monolauric acid. And monolauric acid comes from only two sources of fat, mainly. But of course, other fats also. Coconut oil and mother's milk. So, coconut oil is the best basic diet for all human beings all over the world. Coconut is the best food. And that is the reason why the Sanskrit name of Kalpa Vriksha. Kalpa is not a century. Kalpa is not even 1,000 years. Kalpa is for all times to come. Mm-hmm. Kalpa Vriksha. The one tree which can give succor to human life on the planet for all times to come. In all yugas, as they call it, eons, is coconut oil.
So what you're saying, Professor Hegde, is that in the tradition of Southeast Asia, Asia or India, that coconut tree was considered a timeless tree because of the health benefits it has.
Absolutely. That's why it's called Kalpa Vriksha. Not only timeless, it's, you know, for mankind's survival. Mm-hmm. That's God's gift, so to say. Well, that's philosophy. Now come back to science.
Yes.
Fat is the be-all and all of human existence on this planet.
Why?
Because you require fat for everything.
Tell me a bit more about why do, as humans, we require fat so much?
That's a good question. Why do we require protein?
For muscle building, for cell repair.
That's what you think. But all these things, fats, proteins, carbohydrates, all of them in moderation are required for human existence. The Western idea of human nutrition is half-hearted. It all started with the Second World War. With the German army's secrets leaked out to the Allied forces, the German army people were supposed to be very healthy. And their diet was 1 gram of protein per kilogram body weight per day.
Okay.
Which is 70 kilograms of fat every day, milligrams of fat every day, kilograms of fat. Now, if you took that kind of protein, if you took that kind of protein, all people will have kidney damage. Mm-hmm. A professor in, I think it was Johns Hopkins University, who was living with the with the students. And the students' fad at that time was reading a book written by the British Prime Minister Gladstone, who is right on everything under the sun, mm-hmm. though he didn't know it. He wrote a book on chewing. Gladstone wrote a book on chewing. Mm-hmm. And he said, I quote, if a man can chew a morsel of food 15 times, 200 times, he'll be very healthy. So a lot of these fanatic students, you know, they take to these kind of things. A group of students used to eat every morsel of food 200 times. Mm-hmm. And a professor of biochemistry was living in the dorm, was watching these boys. So he said, let me do a study without their knowledge. So he watched these students and initially studied them and took their health measurements. 4 years in the dorm, he studied them. They were eating. If you chew every morsel 200 times, you can't end up taking more than 15 grams of fat in a day. Uh-huh. 15 grams of fat in a day. And at the end of 4 years, he found them to be healthier than the others who were taking 70 grams of protein per day.
Right.
1 gram per kilogram body weight.
Yeah.
So then itself, you don't require that much of protein. It's not for muscle building and things like that. No. But fat is also like that. Every cell's wall is fat.
That's true.
And cell wall is cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And every day you lose billions of your cells and replace by new cells. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have enough fat, these cells will have very inadequate wall.
So you can't rebuild the cells.
No, you can rebuild the cells, but the wall we can't rebuild.
Right.
So if you have a weak wall, the cell content will spill out. And cell content spilling out is called necrosis.
Yes.
Whereas cell dying by normal is apoptosis.
Yes.
So necrosis is the beginning of all the environmental damage like cancer, etc., etc.
So tell me, you know, the necrosis or where the cell wall is not able to reconstruct itself because of lack of cholesterol or fat, what are the medical implications of that pathology?
Plenty. Starting with cancer, up to common cold, everything can happen if the fat is not properly done. See, even if you have a common cold, millions of nose cells die. They have to be replaced. So you require fat for everything. So you can't say, I'll be a fat-free man. And if you see these people taking anti-cholesterol drugs like statins, they age so fast, their skins lose their elasticity. They look like haggards, old people. And they're so skinny, they're cachectic. And cachexia is one of the important causes of death. Even cancer doesn't kill. Cancer cachexia kills.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
See, cachexia is malnutrition, subnutrition.
Yeah.
So it kills, provided you are a person otherwise eating. There are people who never eat, never have eaten in their life. They don't drink water, they don't have any food. They are called inedias, inedia, I-N-E-D-I-A.
Okay.
Inedias don't eat anything and they don't produce any shit. They don't produce any urine and they don't lose weight. They're so balanced, so beautifully balanced.
And physiologically, how is that possible?
That's possible because you have this, you know, in the heights in California, Yosemite, for example. You go up the height. There are these black bears. They come. They don't damage you. If you go to camp there, they'll come and roam around. But if you damage them, of course, they'll kill you. These bears sleep for 3 months sometimes. Simply sleep. They don't take anything, not a grain of food, not a drop of water. And they don't move. All our physiology says if you don't move for 7 hours, you'll get deep vein thrombosis and all rubbish. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take water, you'll get ketosis.
Yeah.
If you don't take food, you'll die, etc., etc. These bears have been studied. Mm-hmm. They have no disease at all. And if you wake up the bear in the middle any time, it's more powerful, more energetic, and more lifelike, and better in health to kill an enemy.
Professor Haig did.
And if you see, hang on, if you see the creatinine levels, instead of going up, they go down. If you see the muscle mass, it is better. If you see the bone density, it is better. And a lot of people wanted to do studies on that, see why it happens. No funding came. Because if they find out why it happens, and then the whole business of dialysis and kidney failure is gone. Inedias, a lot of studies are done on inedias. There are mystics in Europe who are inedias. There are yogis in India who are inedias. And one scientist from Cambridge has done a lot of work, Rupert Sheldrake. And Rupert Sheldrake was almost an outcast in Cambridge. People don't look at him. They say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But there's the only man who knows what he's talking about. So this is how the industry works. This is how the whole establishment works.
That makes me think about the importance of fasting. You know, of course, you know, most of us cannot be taking that extreme step of not eating anything at all unless, you know.
Intermittent fasting, even in the conventional medical system, is supposed to be good for health. As a matter of fact, intermittent fasting is so good because, A, you are giving complete rest to all your organs at least for one day. See, every organ except the heart is not equipped to work continuously. Heart is done because heart has got a special blood supply and heart has got a special capacity because the perforating heart vessels dilate 5 times. It's called coronary reserve, which doesn't happen with others. Supposing I use my hand, go on using my hand 24 hours non-stop, I won't be able to do that. My hand will be dead, but heart can continue. Because hand, what does it happen? The more it works, the more oxygen it extracts from the same blood that comes. And after some time, it becomes blue. And if I cut my vein and see and go on doing, the blood coming out will be initially red, then blue, 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 then black, 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 pitch black. So my hand will be dead. So similarly, all other organs, like the, you know, though the kidney has got an enormous reserve, for every working nephron, there are millions sleeping nephrons. Even then, you can't go on working it every day. And the more protein you give, more work for the kidneys.
Yes.
So we give rest once in a way. What happens? Nothing will happen.
So what would be a kind of ideal frequency with which one can do fasting?
Yeah, see, if you look at Indian scripture, they do fasting once in 15 days for Ekadashi, Dwadashi and Trayodashi. You know, these are ideal things. This happen.
So
once a week you can fast.
11th day of the lunar cycle.
Yes,
so,
you know, 11th day, 10th day, etc., etc. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is, if Western calendars say once a week, Sunday is a day which don't work much.
Yeah.
You can fast on a Sunday. You can fast, fruit fasting on Sunday, the complete fasting on another Sunday. But don't stop drinking water because your kidney can't get used so quickly.
Yes.
You don't become an Inadia overnight. Yeah. Inadia requires training. And they get their energy from other sources like the sun. Mm-hmm. We all get our energy from the sun. Food is only for maintenance. So overeating is bad. All the energy comes from the Schumann ring, which is all around the globe, coming from the sun.
So what's that Schumann ring?
Schumann ring is the ring of energy circling the whole world through the coming from the sun.
Now, for the benefit of our listeners who may not understand much about Schumann resonance.
No, not the human resonance. It's the Schumann ring.
Okay.
Schumann is a scientist who described this. Mm-hmm. And Schumann resonance also comes from the Schumann ring.
Right.
This is the energy. The sun has the biggest energy. Mm-hmm. Sun, there's nothing in this world which makes so much of energy as sun does. And we still have not understood how the sun makes hydrogen. Mm-hmm. In the center core of the sun makes hydrogen. So sun's energy runs us.
Yeah.
We all run because of the sun. That's why I say people, lifestyle is more important than all this talk about medicines, etc.
That makes so much sense because, you know, there's so much awareness and also research on the need of vitamin D3 for longevity, for preventing chronic illnesses, for managing chronic illnesses, cancer, diabetes and cardiovascular conditions and osteoporosis and all of that. So it makes so much sense when you say that actually our nourishment comes from nature. So if we live in accordance with nature, then that we are more likely
to give you an example
healthy.
To make it very telling to the audience. You look at a dog, look at a cow, look at a buffalo. They have their whole back, their four-legged whole back, exposed to the sun all the time the sun is up. Mm-hmm. As the Western science has made a business out of sun, saying that if you went into the sun, you'll get cancer. It is not the sun that gives a cancer. If sun is the cause of cancer, every animal should get skin cancer on the back. Mm-hmm. So sun doesn't. It is the sunscreen that is a chemical that gives cancer. Sun is good. And sun exposure even to the Caucasians is not bad because they get more vitamin D3. And vitamin D3 can only come from the sun. Yeah. If you took vitamin D3 by mouth, by injection, it could be quite dangerous because it is a fat-soluble vitamin. And hypervitaminosis D is more dangerous than cancer. Mm-hmm.
What would you say, Professor Hegde, to those of my listeners who are in Australia and New Zealand where there's an ozone hole, and if they expose themselves to sun, there's more harmful effect of the UV rays?
No, nothing of the sort. But if you're worried about the ozone hole, you take the sun in the morning and sun in the evening. When it is a tangent, nothing happens.
Right.
Don't take the midday sun.
Okay.
But if I were you, I would take the whole day sun if I have an opportunity. I tell you, it makes you so strong. Immune system. The D3 is the thing that D3 receptors in the body are the basis that keeps the immune system. Mm-hmm. Now we have got an extract of rice bran.
Yes, yeah.
Which is called metridicol. That stimulates vitamin D3 receptors in the body.
Okay.
And I have seen patients of all kinds of incurable diseases getting cured by this medicine.
So it's an extract of...
Nano extract.
Rice bran.
An ordinary extract can be just from the rice water.
Yes.
You can concentrate, desiccate the rice water and take it, you get the same thing. But somebody has extracted nanoparticles from that, which are more powerful because it goes into every cell.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful.
So, for the benefit of those listeners who may not understand what is nano, do you mind simplifying?
Nano is the smallest. There's nothing, big exciting thing about it.
Okay.
It is the smallest. Nano and picoparticles are so small that no filter can filter them.
Okay.
They go through all the filters, kidney filter, liver filter, any filter for that matter. And there's nothing new about nano. As far back as 1954, there was an Indian scientist in America called Professor Rustum Roy, mm-hmm. who had found out how to extract nanoparticles, what's called the sol-gel technique.
Okay.
And the same technique is used even in 2016 to extract nanoparticles.
Right.
And the sol-gel technique paper that he wrote has been cited 78,000 times now, record. No paper has been cited.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nominated Nobel Prize 21 times, but they didn't give him the Nobel Prize. His three students got the Nobel Prize for the work that he has originally done. As far back as 54. Now our problem is not a nanoparticle. Our problem is gigaparticles.
What does that mean?
Ignorance, indifference, ill health, poverty, malnutrition. These are our giga problems, big problems. We are worried about nano problems, small ones, micro problems. We have to solve the giga problems. Half the world suffers from protein calorie malnutrition.
Okay, how to correct it?
Very simple. Simple, give them protein, good food, that's all. Just simply feed them normally. The other half suffers from malnutrition, M-A-L-L. That's from the mal.
Yes.
Junk food.
Right.
So that is the obesity in the West. Obesity in the West is the biggest epidemic that's going to come.
That's the processed food and packaged food because, you know...
All junk food.
Yes.
Food which is not natural.
Yeah, they're all called healthy. There are healthy labels.
Yeah.
But they're all processed and...
They are healthy for the industry. They are really healthy for the industry because they are the biggest money spinners. And they contain so much of sugar, they contain so much of salt, so they are killers.
Just to kind of summarize, you know, we have touched upon so many exciting, interesting topics that what you're saying, Professor Hegde, is that actually body has its own natural ability to recover if you let it recover.
Good.
And so you would need to live in accordance with nature, and you can understand nature through traditions or you can understand nature through cutting-edge science.
No, you don't have to even go to science.
Yeah.
Your own feeling, if you observe yourself, if you're a good observer, if you follow nature and life, live a simple life, you feel so energetic, so healthy, diseases will simply vanish. I'm reminded of an Irish couplet. This Irish, you know, have some very interesting couplets. I'll quote that.
Mm-hmm.
I eat when I'm hungry. I drink when I'm thirsty. If heavens don't fall down, I'll certainly live till I die without any illness.
Fantastic.
They're very interesting. See, our biggest problem is eat when we are not hungry. This is very bad for health.
Yes.
Your body asks for food, then only eat. Where, who has so told you that you must have a breakfast, a lunch, evening tea, night dinner? Nobody has told you.
Could this be because, you know, we come from a generation of post-industrialization where we all had to work, we were kind of people on the production line where we were treated like machinery?
No, that not because of... It is because of the compulsion of this kind of work ethics.
Yes.
They have to work at a particular time. That means they have to eat at a particular time.
Yeah.
No, that also should go. You eat when you want to eat. Take your food to the factory and eat when you're hungry. Drink when you're thirsty. Who told you that you must drink so much of water every day? There's no evidence at all.
There's no evidence?
No. Actually, the whole issue of BMJ in 2001 or so, Christmas issue came. They've gone through the whole world literature. There's no evidence to say you must drink so much of water. But conventionally, people drink water when they're thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be enough to sustain yourself. That roughly works out to about 30 ml per kilogram body weight.
30 milliliters
per kilogram body weight. Supposing you're 60 kilos, you're 1,800 cc, about 2 liters you require.
Okay, so if you have 60 kgs, then about 2 liters of water is essential for the body to
function. Water includes other drinks, excluding coffee and tea, which are diuretics. So if you took a cup of coffee, you require 2 cups of water to replace that. Because diuretics pushes out a lot of water.
So with every cup of coffee, have 2 cups of water. So actually you are counteracting diuretic effect of coffee or caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is fantastic. And Professor Hegde, if you were to touch upon, you know, there's a whole understanding that we need high protein and low carb. I must admit that actually I have done high protein, high fat and low carb for quite some time. And although initially I noticed the benefits of it, I started to notice the negative impacts of it, which is like my thyroids became underactive. I started losing collagen, particularly on my face. Because
you wrinkle so fast.
Yes.
You wrinkle so fast. No, all these funny things, you know, all these fat diets, ketone diet, this diet, that diet, his diet, her diet, all these have no meaning. There's no shortcut for health. Shortcut health is simply living with nature, living in commune with nature, and trying to love everybody, working very hard, and not hating nobody, you'll be very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I define health as enthusiasm to work.
Mm-hmm.
You must have that enthusiasm to work, you're healthy. You must have the enthusiasm to be compassionate, you're very healthy.
What is compassion?
Compassion is universal love. You love everything in this nature created by God. If you're one of those agnostics, don't believe in God, created by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Simply love them, that's all. So you can't hate, but you can't kill an animal, you can't kill a human being, you can't cheat somebody, you can't hate somebody. All this if you live, and live with nature. You see, one thing you must remember, we have been here on this planet for 900,000 years, yes, in 50,000 generations. And the so-called science, so-called medical science, is hardly, 100 years old. The present high-tech science is not 50 years old. And the so-called medicine is about 2,000 years old, 5,000 years old. But we have been here for donkey's years. How did you survive? Supposing without all these things, eating protein, this more, that more, and all, if we didn't know all that, we didn't know for it. Mm-hmm. We would have been dead long before the dinosaurs died. Mm-hmm. So you didn't die, you didn't extinguish yourself. Because, yes, nature gives you everything. You would be surprised there are people only living on sun and breathing techniques. Sun gives you enough energy. Now if you don't know how to breathe properly, which is called pranayama in the Indian yoga concept,
yeah,
you breathe and then say, when you breathe, you say that Om. Om is the real basic sound. A-U-M.
Okay.
A-U-M. Om. Mm-hmm. When you say that, it comes out as Om outside, but from the vocal cords down, it vibrates like a piezo crystal and goes as ultrasound.
What's a piezo crystal?
Just, piezo crystal, piezo is an element. If you vibrate that,
yeah,
it produces ultrasound. You know, this Navy sends the laser beams, ultrasound laser beams, to find out whether there's any,
yes,
submarine.
Yeah.
The same thing. Now, this ultrasound goes in straight line. Ordinary sound goes all over. Now, I talk, you hear, back they hear, then, yes, they hear. Ultrasound, no, it goes straight. And when it gets an obstruction, it hits back, like a mirror. It comes back.
Uh-huh.
Now, this ultrasound is very powerful. Now, when it goes down into the alveoli, there are a lot of these bubbles of water in the alveoli. That's how your alveoli doesn't collapse. It has got nitrogen there and lot of the mucus and all. Small and large bubbles. And this energy, when it goes and touches those bubbles, they break. They coalesce and break. It's called somnoluminescence.
Mm-hmm.
When the somnoluminescence occurs, it releases a lot of energy. So just by doing Om, you get enough energy.
Professor Hegde, you are 78 years, and if I may share that with my listeners, the reason I want to say this is because I've seen you being so active, very fit and very alert, and you're still extremely productive, where you go around the world teaching seminars and workshops and attending conferences. Can you tell me, how do you maintain such good state of health?
I don't know whether I have a state of health, good or bad, because I don't go by the conventional checking up. What's your blood pressure? What's your sugar? What's your cholesterol? All that rubbish, I don't believe in.
But you're a cardiologist.
I don't believe in that. I tell my patients also not to do that.
Really?
But yes, but one thing I do is, morning I ask myself a question. Do I want to go to work? If the answer is yes, I am healthy. Number two, do I have to be of use to others? If yes, I enjoy both. So you say I go around the world, I tell you, many times I end up even taking a bank loan to spending money. So to that extent, I had to go to China and I had no money, but I had to go. They were invited. They said, no, we can't give you airfare. Come, we'll look after you here. So I took a bank loan and went. But I enjoy that.
So you believe in service, being, yeah, helped others.
So I enjoy that. And my feeling is, if you do what you love, nothing will happen. No, there's nothing called stress. If you do something which you don't love, it's terrible stress. Public speaking, for example, is a very stressful thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have done work when I was a student in London, when I was a trainee in London, we have done London bus drivers. We have been monitoring their heart rates. You must see, when the London bus drivers overtake in the highway, their heart rate almost touches 250. They don't know, but they, wow, are so tense. When you overtake, you're terribly tense.
Mm-hmm.
All this is right, but if you enjoy driving, nothing happens. Your heart rate comes back to normal. If you hate driving, that can kill you.
That's extremely interesting, because the difference between people who perceive stress and those who don't, even in adventurous situations like skydiving or jumping off a cliff with a parachute, is that moment when they enjoy, their brain tells them, do it. And if they resist it and if they have fear, that's what creates stress hormones.
Yeah. We did study public speakers in London, in that park, Hyde Park corner.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Those who don't like public speaking and are forced, they're training for public speaking, They get a lot of arrhythmias in the heart during the Holter monitoring. But those who take it as a choice and enjoy it, nothing happens. They don't even one heart rate, heartbeat extra. It's just normal. So do what you like. This is a simple formula I tell my students also. Do what you like.
So you have to choose a vocation where you feel inspired and enthused.
I just jokingly tell people, choose the wife of your choice, the job of your choice, the house of your choice, and everything that you like, nothing will happen. But that's impossible in life. But then what I say is, love what you do.
Yes.
Then you're fine. You can't always get what you love, but love what you do.
Fantastic.
One day, you know, I was giving a lecture in Indian culture in London. I still remember the day. I was talking about culture and all. Question time. I said, questions? Yes. One man asked, what is this culture you're talking about? You marry a girl whom you have never met before. Rubbish. What is this called, culture? Everybody clapped. So they thought, oh, the speaker is finished. So I asked him, sir, can I ask you a question? Yes, go ahead. Do you have children, sir? Yes, of course. Do you love your children? What do you mean? You're insulting me. No, I just asked a simple question, matter of fact. Because did you know your children before they became your children? He was floored. So you started loving your children after they became your children, right? I started loving my wife after she became my child. What's the difference? I said, everybody stood up and clapped.
No, that's fantastic. You know, we are coming to the end of our fabulous interview with Professor Hegde. Hopefully, you know, we can have Professor Hegde for another interview, as many of our listeners will benefit.
Inshallah.
listening to a cardiologist, a cutting-edge medical researcher, who predicted that coconut can be a lifesaver in cardiovascular diseases in 1968.
Actually, there is a book written by somebody who has written all that I have been saying, which was against the conventional thing, which has been proved right now. About 10 or 15 things he has written in that book. Prophecy of B.M. Hegde, proved right. That's the title of the book.
So the title of the book is Prophecy of...
Or something like that.
B.M. Hegde.
I don't know my book's titles correctly. But I think something like that, Prophecy.
Would you mind recommending a book that my listeners can go and learn from?
Well, any number of books are there on this. But simple books are, simple, very simple book is, You Can Be Healthy is a book that I have written, published by Macmillan's.
You Can Be Healthy.
You Can Be Healthy is the title.
Okay.
It's Macmillan's. Macmillan's India.
Okay. And
very simple.
And a final question, you know, because this was a very holistic take on where you start with science and medicine and health and your lifestyle, living with nature and having good values and loving what you do is the secret of a long, healthy life. A final question, if you may answer that within, say, a minute. You know, there's so much focus today on the effect of environment on our genetics. For a long time, we believed we live out our life like we have been programmed by the genetics, but now we are starting to look in research and medicine that environment has a good effect on our genetics. What do you have to say on that?
The whole thing has been completely upside down in science. There's nothing called genetics in evolution. It's all environmental. As a matter of fact, Darwin and Mendel were wrong, and Lamarck was right. Actually, Darwin's own grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, had told him, you are wrong, Lamarck is right. But Darwin, of course, believed that. But neo-Darwinists today don't believe that, because genetics, genetic engineering, stem cell research, preserving the cord blood, preserving the human body, that started with the Kremlin, trying to preserve Lenin at an enormous cost. And under the very nose of the scientists who started that, the Lenin's body degenerated and went away. Now, even now, cryo-freezing, nitrogen freezing, etc., etc., is being done for an enormous amount. Cord blood preservation, etc. All this is not science. As a matter of fact, a young researcher in MIT started a company, future company, like some futuristic ink or something, some name he has given. His name was Eric Drexler. He said, I am going to produce babies, whatever baby you want, tailor-made baby, without father and mother. Self-replicating nanobots. And within 1 week, he made $100 million venture capital money. Then his own professor who gave him PhD in, you know, Smalley, Richard Smalley, a great scientist, He wrote a paper in the article in the Boston Globe saying that, look, this is all just business. It can't be done. You can't even make a DNA. Forget about making a self-replicating nanobot. We can't even make chlorophyll. Forget about it. What is this science? And the company stopped. But he declared Chapter 11 and took the money and went away, finished. This is business. So all this genetic engineering has come to an end. The future of biotechnology has also come to an end. The future is only for evolutionary biology. Mm-hmm. Evolutionary biology is all purely environmental. Mm-hmm. So everything is environmental and nothing is genetic. So you are not programmed. You don't have to do a genome study and frighten people saying you have this gene, that gene, and remove the breast saying that you've got a BRAC gene and this and gene. All business. Breast removal is one business. Reconstructive breast is another business. So it's business.
Professor B.M. McDay, thank you so much. You know, your views are so revolutionary and you're a cutting-edge scientist. This, I'm sure, has given a lot of food for thought to my listeners. And once again...
And a lot of brickbats.
Thank you so much. So the summary is that we can take charge of our health and live in accordance to nature. And if we can be happy, we can be healthier.
And the take-home message is each one of us must strive to leave a healthier environment for the future generation.
That's a very profound message.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.